Well, we have a beautiful Mother's Day in which to come out and to worship God. Let me see if I could turn this thing on real quick. There we go.
Hey, it looks like it's working. I don't have to holler. That's good news. Glad to have everyone here. Whoop, there it went off. Glad to have everyone here. And we're going to open up God's Word and study it. We want to especially say a special word to all those who are mothers and how we will honor you. Our nation honors you today. Today is a national holiday, and more cards are sent, more calls are made, more texts are communicated, more flowers are bought, more dinners are eaten out, good luck of getting in that line today, than any other day throughout the calendar year. How can we fully express our gratitude to our mothers? I don't know if we could do that. And we honor you, especially we honor Christian mothers, Christian grandmothers, that are helping to establish those values, those beliefs, those convictions in the hearts of their children and grandchildren that will lead them not only to what I believe is the best life that anyone can live here on earth, that is a Christian life, but more importantly, an eternal life with our Father who is in heaven. Anna Jarvis is credited with establishing Mother's Day here in the United States. It was in 1908. It did not become an official holiday until 1914, just a little over 100 years ago. She later denounced the commercialism of the holiday. But Mother's Day, I believe, is very apropos. I've entitled this sermon, Miraculous Mothers. And I use this term miraculous in a non-biblical sense. And what I mean by that is this. When the Bible speaks of miracles, it is referring to an act or a deed that defies nature. It defies the laws of nature. But what I mean by this is that sometimes the actions and the attitudes of our mothers seem to be so extraordinary that it's almost as if they seem miraculous to us. And so we then are going to study the Bible where we see an example of an extraordinary mother that I believe can set as a template for all mothers, even today. And the one that I'm speaking of is the mother of our Lord, and that is Mary. Mary, the mother of Jesus, sets a template of motherhood. And I want to invite you over to our text passage. So if you have your Bibles, I'll invite you over to Matthew chapter 2. And we'll start reading beginning in verse 18. And there in the Bible we read, a voice was heard in Ramah, lamentation, weeping, and great mourning. Rachel, weeping for her children, refused to be comforted because they are no more. And so we read then in verse 1, or in Matthew chapter 1, rather, and in verse 18. Now the birth of Jesus Christ was as follows. After his mother Mary was betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Spirit. Then Joseph, her husband, Being a just man, not wanting to make her a public example, was minded to put her away secretly. But while he thought about these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take you Mary your wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. And she will bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. So all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the Lord through the prophet, saying, Behold, the virgin shall be with child and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which is translated God with us. Then Joseph, being aroused from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord commanded him, took to him his wife, and did not know her till she had brought forth her first son, and he called his name Jesus. So right then, there in Matthew chapter 1, we read then about the birth of Jesus. And you know, we could have a different lesson about Joseph when it comes to Father's Day and the type of man Joseph was. But certainly we want to think about Mary. And I want you to consider that it must have been a shock for Mary to find out that she was with child. When we come over here to Luke the first chapter, and we pick up the reading in verse 26, we have what some religious groups refer to as the Annunciation. Now in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent by God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. The virgin's name was Mary. And having come in, the angel said to her, Rejoice, highly favored one, the Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women. But when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying, and considered what manner of greeting this was. Then the angel said to her, Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb, and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. He will be great, and will be called the Son of Highest. And the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end. Then Mary said to the angel, How can this be, since I do not know a man? So imagine then, if you will, this shocking nature when the angel Gabriel came to Mary and delivered this message that you're going to have a child. And not only will you have a child, this will be a special child. This child then, he's going to be Jesus, the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David. And her natural question was this. She was confused about all this. How could this happen? I have never known a man. I've never been with a man. Naturally, Mary was confused. But you know, it was prophesied by the prophet Isaiah. Therefore, the Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel. And we read that from Matthew chapter 1. God with us. Some want to try to downplay the virgin aspect of the birth of Christ. They want to suggest that really that word there in Isaiah chapter 7 should be translated maiden or young maiden. But I want you to know that many reliable scholars point out that it's translated just like we find it in Scripture, virgin. Jesus was born of a virgin. And that's restated in Matthew chapter 1, as we read, and also in Luke chapter 1. Now, in terms then of what Mary did in order for Jesus to be here on earth, that's where the miracle aspect starts. And in regard to Mary, that's where it ends. And so when I talk about Mary being a template for motherhood, I'm not talking about just in this aspect of it. Obviously, this was a miracle. And women do not have children in that method today. But I want to emphasize that Mary had other children. Come over here to Matthew chapter 13, if you will. Matthew the 13th chapter. And look at verse 53. Now it came to pass when Jesus had finished these parables that he departed from there. And when he had come to his own country, he taught them in the synagogue, so that they were astonished and said, where did this man get this wisdom and these mighty works? Is this not the carpenter's son? Is not his mother called Mary, and his brothers James, Joseas, Simon, and Judas, and his sisters, are they not all with us? Where then did this man get all these things? Mary had other children. And it goes on right here in this text and gives the very names of the four brothers of Jesus. And it talks about the sisters of Jesus. And when Mary dealt with those other children, she did not deal with them in a miraculous sense. And I point that out just to say that Mary serves as a template for motherhood today. And you don't have to have a special connection through miracles in order to have the same desires, the same concerns, the same aspirations, the same hopes that Mary had for Jesus and her children. You can have those same things, and it has nothing to do with a miraculous nature as we see in the birth of Christ. But when I say miraculous mothers, I'm saying mothers who are willing to go above and beyond and do extraordinary things. Things that we could never imagine, that are there for us time and time again, and that will never let us down. That's what I mean by it. What are some of the hopes and concerns that Mary had for her children that I believe the mothers have for their children today? I believe that mothers are concerned about the physical welfare of their children. I know that my mom was concerned about my physical welfare. I ran track and cross country years or pounds ago. Both of them would apply. Many years ago and many pounds ago. And I remember oftentimes in the spring I'd have a cough. And, you know, just come in and hack and cough. And my mother would say, clean up your room. You're going to have tuberculosis. I never had a fear of having tuberculosis. Nevertheless, I cleaned up my room. Our mothers cared for our physical welfare, just like Mary cared for Jesus' physical welfare. And mothers today care about the physical welfare of their children. That's why when they go to the doctor, they're happy to come back and say, yeah, my child's doing good. This is their length, their height. This is their weight. They measure such and such percentage on that scale. They're concerned about the physical welfare of their children. I want to ask you, have you ever lost a child in a crowd? You know, this has happened. One time we had visitors when I was preaching in Missouri, and visitors from Texas, good friends of mine, And Stephanie says today, she promises, she said, I told you to get Matthew. And but she went on home. We lived in an adjacent town. And I came home, and of course I didn't get him. You know, I rode with my friends. We rode over to the house. And I could see the distress on Stephanie's face. She said, where's Matthew? And so I rushed back to the church building and looked for him. And apparently he ended up going over to, one of the members was a neighbor close to the church house. He went over to their house. But they found him pounding on the door of my car saying, Daddy, let me in. Let me in. Well, Stephanie cried when she heard. It broke her heart. You know, I said he should have broke the window and got in, you know. What about Jesus? Jesus was lost. You remember that? Look over here in Luke chapter 2. Luke the second chapter. And Luke chapter 2, beginning in verse 41. Remember this Bible story? Luke chapter 2, beginning in verse 41. It talks about Jesus' parents. His parents went to Jerusalem every year at the feast of the Passover. And when he was 12 years old, they went up to Jerusalem according to the custom of the feast. And when they had finished the days as they returned, the boy Jesus lingered behind in Jerusalem. And Joseph and his mother did not know it. But supposing him to have been in the company, they went a day's journey and sought him among their relatives and acquaintances. And when they did not find him, they returned to Jerusalem seeking him. Now, so it was that after 3 days, think about this. You have this big caravan, a family and folks, and they're traveling to Jerusalem, going to be there for the feast. And when they went to go home, Jesus is lost. They can't find him. This is 3 days. Remember, at that day and time, they didn't have Amber Alert. What would you do if your child was lost for 3 days? Would you be concerned about their physical welfare? I dare say that you would. I think about the worthy woman described in Proverbs chapter 31. This worthy woman or virtuous woman, the Bible says about the physical care that she had for her family. She's not afraid of snow for her household. For all her household is clothed with scarlet. She makes tapestry for herself. Her clothing is fine linen and purple. Here, this worthy or virtuous woman is making sure that her children are clothed, that they are warm. She's not afraid of the snow. She's taking care of them. She's concerned about their physical welfare. In the 127th Psalm, I like this particular version of what this says. And verse 3. Children are God's love gift. They are heaven's generous reward. Like Mary, mothers today give TLC, special tender loving care, for their children and their physical welfare. Over here in Luke chapter 2, returning back to Luke 2. And this time, let's pick up the reading in verse 7. In our Bibles. Notice the care then. And she brought forth her firstborn son, wrapped him in swaddling clothes. Just think then about how Mary took care of Jesus, laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. Now there were in the same country shepherds living out in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. And behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were greatly afraid. Then the angel said to them, do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all the people. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be the sign to you. You will find a babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. When Stephanie and I were over in Israel, we went to Bethlehem. And we went into that church where they say Jesus was born. We went to the very spot where they say that this particular manger was at. The manger is no longer there. That they say the one that is the manger, it's over in Rome. But they have the spot where they say that manger lay. I just want you to think then about the loving care that Mary had for her child. How many times have our mothers went without to make sure that we would have, to see that we did not go without? And I want to say, you can imagine then how Mary was concerned about the physical welfare of Christ as he hung upon the cruel cross of Calvary. Over in John chapter 19, we read about that scene. Starting in verse 25, now there stood by the cross of Jesus his mother and his mother's sister, Mary the wife of Clopas and Mary Magdalene. When Jesus therefore saw his mother and saw the disciple whom he loved standing by, he said to his mother, woman, behold your son. And he said to his disciple, behold your mother. And from that hour, that disciple took her to his own home. And I want to tell you then, how would you feel, mothers, if you saw your child suffering the death of a crime that he never committed, of sin that he never committed? When mothers see their child physically suffer, going through illness and pain, their hearts go out to them. When our mothers see us go through that, their hearts went out to us. But also I want to tell you that our mothers today care about our social welfare, just like Mary cared about our Lord's social welfare. Back in the book of Luke, go back to Luke chapter 2 if you will, and here in Luke chapter 2 and in verse 52, the Bible says something extraordinary about Christ. It says, and Jesus increased in wisdom and stature and the favor with God and men. Jesus increased with favor with God and men. And that's the social aspect. He was in favor with men. And we can see that by the multitudes that followed our Lord. This is just a sampling of the passages to talk about those multitudes. But let's take just a second to look at some of them. Mark 6 and in verse 33. But the multitude saw them departing, and many knew him and ran there on foot from all the cities. They arrived before them and came together to him. And Jesus, when he came out, saw a great multitude, was moved with compassion for them, because they were like sheep not having a shepherd. So he began to teach them many things. And then in Mark chapter 10 and in verse 1, Mark 10 and 1, then he arose from there and came to the region of Judea by the other side of Jordan, and multitudes gathered to him again. And as he was accustomed, he taught them again. Then when you go over into the book of Luke, the Gospel of Luke, and in Luke chapter 3 and in verse 7, it says, then he said to the multitudes that came out to be baptized by him, and he spoke to them then, spoke to the multitudes. And Luke chapter 5 and in verse 3, Luke 5 and 3, that he got into one of the boats, which was Simon's, and asked him to put out a little from the land. And he sat down and taught the multitudes from the boat. And then Luke 5 and in verse 15, later on in that text. However, the report went around concerning him all the more, and great multitudes came together to hear and to be healed by him of their infirmities. Just think then about the thousands of people that followed Jesus and wanted to be around him, wanted to just touch the hem of his garment. Even our Lord's family went to hear Jesus. And Luke chapter 8, Luke the 8th chapter, starting in verse 19. Luke 8, starting in 19. Here the passage says, then his mother and his brothers came to him and could not approach him because of the crowd. And it was told him by some, who said your mother and your brothers are standing outside desiring to see you? But he answered and said to them, my mother and my brothers are those who hear the word of God and do it. So even his family members could not approach him because the crowd was so long. What parent doesn't want their child to be described as likable? I think I went too far. No, I didn't. They want their child to be likable. They want their child then to have others that want to be around them, want to be their friend. But Jesus understood. He knew something. They first welcomed him into Jerusalem, according to John chapter 12. Look over here in John chapter 12. They laid down palm trees as he came in on the triumphal entry. Over here in John the 12th chapter, starting in verse 23. But Jesus answered them, saying, the hour has come that the Son of Man should be glorified. Most assuredly I say to you, unless a grain of wheat falls. And they welcomed him in the triumphal entry. And I have the wrong passage here. It should be in verse 12. The next day, a great multitude that had come to the feast, when they heard that Jesus was coming to Jerusalem, took branches of palm trees, went out to meet him, and cried out, Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, the King of Israel. They're welcoming Jesus by laying down palm trees or palm leaves before him. The triumphal entry. But Jesus knew that they were going to turn on him. Now in verse 33. The hour has come that the Son of Man should be glorified. Most assuredly I say to you, unless a grain of wheat falls into the ground and dies, it remains alone. But if it dies, it produces much grain. He who loves his life will lose it. But he who hates his life in this world will keep it for eternal life. And so Jesus knew that they were eventually going to turn on him, even though they claimed to be their friends. And I want to tell you something about popularity. Our children, if they are Christians and acting like Christians, they're not going to be the most popular people with worldly folks. They may be popular with those who are good and want to do right, but they're not going to be popular with worldly folks. And so when it comes to having social desires for our children, we need to remember what James said in James 4:4, where he said, do you not know that friendship with the world is enmity with God? Whoever therefore wants to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God. But I also want to point out that our mothers today are most concerned about this, and that is our spiritual welfare. Mary was concerned about our Lord's spiritual welfare. I want you to return back to Luke chapter 2 with me, and this time in verse 40, let's notice what the scripture says. And Luke 2, and in verse 40, and the child grew and became strong in spirit, filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was upon him. And then I'll also remind you, in verse 52, we talked about him being in favor with men, but more importantly, he was in favor with God. Remember we talked about Jesus being left behind in the temple? Mary must have been relieved when they found him there, that he was there in the temple. Look at verse 46, same second chapter of Luke 2. So when they did not find him, they returned to Jerusalem seeking him. And now so it was that after 3 days they found him in the temple, sitting in the midst of the teachers, both listening to them and asking them questions. And all who heard him were astonished at his understanding and answers. So when they saw him, they were amazed. And his mother said to him, son, why have you done this to us? Look, your father and I have sought you anxiously. And he said to them, why did you seek me? Did you not know that I must be about my Father's business? But they did not understand the statement which he spoke to them. They knew that he was there in the temple. What better place to find a lost child than with those who have spiritual concerns? That worthy woman that's spoken of in Proverbs chapter 31, I believe that she wanted the best for her child and her children in regards to spiritual things. She opens her mouth with wisdom. What does that mean? Well, I believe that means that she's speaking the things of God. With wisdom on her tongue is the law of kindness. She watches over the ways of her household, does not eat the bread of idleness. Her children rise up and call her blessed. Her husband also, and he praises her. Many daughters have done well, but you excel them all. Charm is deceitful, beauty is passing, but a woman who fears the Lord, she shall be praised, giver of the fruit of her hands, and let her own works praise her in the gates. Mothers, when you do this, when you open up the Bible books, the Bible stories, when you open up the Bible itself and you read it to your children, you make sure that they have their lessons done for Bible class. You make sure then that they're prepared when they go into Bible class. I know parents rejoice when they see their young son coming forward and leading prayer and leading singing. And when their daughters later on develop to become a Bible class teacher, I know parents rejoice in that. When they're taking part in spiritual activities, they should rejoice. You know, Brother Matt has emphasized in the last couple of sermons about how Timothy was influenced by his grandmother and mother and how they passed on their faith. Lois and Eunice passed on their faith to Timothy. They had a genuine faith, a sincere faith. And then I also want to emphasize this. Mothers, when you think about your children, and as we think about our mothers, what do you think the number one concern that they have for you? If they're a good Christian mother, the number one concern is this, that you go to heaven. That's their number one concern. It's not whether or not you become a millionaire. It's not whether or not you become so famous where everybody in the world knows your name. A good Christian mother, the number one concern is this. They want to know that for all eternity, you are going to be in heaven. No parent wants their child to be lost for eternity. One more real quickly, and that is our parents are concerned about our emotional welfare. Remember when Jesus was praying in the Garden of Gethsemane? We sang about that. The Bible describes how he sweat drops of blood. There is a physical phenomenon where your capillaries burst, and if you're sweating, that blood can mix with that sweat. And it seems as if you're sweating drops of blood. No mother wants to see their child go through turmoil. Do you want to see your child go through emotional turmoil? Do you want to see your child who may be always torn up and upset? I dare say that's not what you want. You want that peace of mind that surpasses all understanding. It's talked about in Philippians 4. 6-8. You want to be able to cast your burdens on the Lord, to exchange your yoke, your heavy yoke, for his yoke. He said, my yoke is easy and my burden is light. We have a guest room, and actually when Emily came, she had a guest with her, and she stayed at our house last few days. And in our guest room, my wife has this sign. It reads this, give it to God and then go to sleep. Isn't that great? We want our children to be able to do that. Oftentimes we worry and fret and we're so torn up, so upset. Give it to God and then go to sleep. You may be wondering, what do I need to thank my mama for today? I want to suggest, how about that, Matt? Look, I was able to do it. Here are 10 things, I think, that we certainly could thank our mamas for. We could thank our mamas for staying up with us at night when we were sick or when we had problems. We could thank them for putting us first. Oftentimes they do. We could thank them for keeping us clothed and fed. We could thank our mothers for giving up their quiet time. Maybe you could say to your mother, thank you for letting us crawl up in bed with you. Thank you for being there when I was sick. Thank you for bringing us joy in our life. Thank you for spending time with us. Thank you for letting us be our unique and special self. And then, thank you for being you. I don't know if you've told your mother yet today, thank you. Thank you for being my mother. If you have a good mother, you need to rejoice and praise God. If you're raising children, rearing children now, make sure that you're that type of mother, where you're concerned about all of those needs, the physical, spiritual, social, emotional needs, just like Mary was concerned about those needs of her son, Jesus. We need to be concerned about those needs with our children. And perhaps your spiritual situation isn't sorted out this morning. If not, you need to do something about it. You need to get it right. You need to obey the gospel, become a Christian. Or if you are one, but you're not in good standing, and you desire to have the prayers of the saints here, we want you to take care of it. You can do it now as we stand and as we sing.